Hello. Maybe, why don't we tell them, why don't we just tell them what we gave out? I'm not even certain what we gave out. And then show them. So why don't you just tell them that first? All right, so we can start. I forgot to give a homework on Wednesday. So the homework I emailed to Mehmet. Have you put it up yet? All right, so it will be up very soon. So very simple homework. You have to build a school bus using VRML. So if you go out on the streets of Syracuse, you'll see school buses. They're yellow. And so what you should do is we have handed out the VRML from Miriam describing the car. And so, and she has kindly converted the VRML 1 into VRML 2. So we now have VRML 1 and VRML 2 cars. And so the suggestion is you start with this car and you re-engineer the construction of the car to build a bus. So you might decide it needs more wheels. It obviously has to be yellow. Probably needs some windows. And you're allowed to use any mixture you like of VRML nodes or texture maps, but you better not do it all with texture maps. In principle, all you need to do is make a yellow box and texture map a bus on it, but that I would view as non-compliant with the homework. So you have to use some extra nodes, put some extra nodes in to do something interesting, like a window or a door. You can use texture maps if you like, but not for everything. So I believe that we should make certain this link, which is the users GCF VRML demos, is on our web page. And so it has, so Miriam, maybe you could just show, I'll give you the this thing, which is, just tell them what, just take them through this page and then tell them what we gave them out, gave out to them.
Yeah.
Wednesday in class. You can just close that web browser because I did it as a new browser. Yeah, just that's fine. I can do the rest. It's okay. All right, so we should probably also put on the web page a pointer to the VRML1 to VRML2 converter, because the way we got VRML2 was running it through that standard conversion. So we're redoing it to get the right browser. Okay. This is why we need to get in here early, cause so we can get it all set up right, because unfortunately in these complex emerging technologies, to get the right browser on the right computer with the right helper application isn't always so trivial. So I forgot to comment. So VRML, as we discussed, VRML2 is going to replace VRML1, but as far as I know, the essential, you will learn as much from VRML1 in sort of concept as you will from VRML2, and VRML1 has the advantage that it should be available on machines you have access to, whereas VRML2 is only available on a few machines. It is available in our PC lab, which, however, is controlled access. So Nancy and Mehmet are preparing the documentation of the project, which is after this homework, the only thing you'll have to do is a project. And the project will have lots of examples as to things you're meant to do, you could do. And you can choose VRML2 for the project. And if you want to do VRML2 as part of your project, you should probably go to Nancy. Is that right? Yeah, go to Nancy, and she will get you the key and the login privileges to our PC lab, which will have excellent VRML2 browsers on it. We need the key. Do we have the key? Oh, here it is. Hello? So none of you could have heard what I said because it was switched off. There are too many buttons here. So I'll continue discussing the project while we get the right browser loaded. So the project is meant to state a goal. A project is meant to be, all the homeworks up to now have been, if you like, technology nuggets. Do a Perl program to do for some problem or... So the projects are meant to be more like this latest homework, which was make a bus. So they're meant to state a goal, such as, like last year, somebody built a web-linked database to do an automobile insurance system, well, a small automobile insurance system. So that's an idea of a goal, build a web-linked auto insurance system then you're meant to implement it. So another students did a, given in a chemistry room, they did a VRML1-based table of the elements with VRML pictures of electrons running around nuclei. So that's an idea of an a typical application. Then you're meant to implement it with whatever mix of Java, JavaScript, VRML, and weblink databases that you feel interests you. And you do not have to use any special technology. It can be any of those technologies or any mixture thereof. Anything else we should say, Nancy? Do you want to check that this works? So do we know if this browser works yet? So let's see if we... All right, so we're now in business. So we can, if we can do a goldfish, we can do anything, I think. All right. So that's everything I know. Did I, what? Oh, I screwed it up again. Frustrating. Yeah, I'm sorry. Not usually this bad. So, anything else we need to say about the project? Nancy? So while we're screwing around, are there any questions about, yes? Yes, the answer is yes. Do we want a maximum size of the team? 3? Maximum size is 3. And you better make clear which, yeah, in fact, last time we did this class, the teams were pretty successful, I would say. And you probably should know that the next lectures, which will be given by Nancy, will mainly be focused on JDBC, the Java Database Connection. Remember, I just started that. So actually, I will clearly, given we spent this amount of time, and maybe anyway, I will not finish VRML2 this time. So as I'm going to be away for the next few lectures, we will do JDBC, and then when I get back, we'll finish up VRML2. The one critical thing we will not do in VRML2 is the use of Java and JavaScript to do scripting, which is the animation in VRML. So that is the I will put all the files for that online, and I will. Let's just leave it. Let's not. Okay. All right. So after all this screwing around, so we're going to now go. We basically last time finished VRML1 and got started in VRML2, and we're now going to go quickly through the features of VRML2. And you should all. You were given these foils through 90. Again, we will give you the rest. This particular foil set goes to 175. You will get the remaining foils again by Wednesday. They are finished. And they are all on the web. So if you look at so this file set starts off with a general discussion of VRML2, which essentially we've done already. And as we've mentioned, the critical feature is the fact it can do interaction, which I will not in fact do today. And we already mentioned sort of its history. Actually, I'm annoyed with this system. I'm going to change its size so I can at least see every file. Can anybody see that? Sort of. Well, there are some nearer seats. Are you sure that this doesn't work, is that right? I don't know why. Let's just stick with this. It's too confusing. I'm too confused. Let's go back. All right. So we remember that this was introduced in May of 96. This was this moving world VRML2. And it is now appears to have been endorsed by essentially all the major vendors. And this is a list of some of the current browsers. So the one we've got most experience with is Cosmo Player. The other one the ones we use are Liquid Reality and Community Place, isn't that right? Community Place is the one that has the best support for Java. Is that right, Cosmo Player? All right, so... Yes, so one advantage of the PCs then, Cosmo Player and Community Place both support scripting properly on PCs. So as usual, the PC software is better than the workstation software. Anyway, it's sort of quite interesting that Sony, which is a consumer electronics company, has one of the very best web-based software in this area. So the next couple of foils describe the architecture of the browser. So we have a parser, which of course reads the file and creates a scene graph. The scene graph is this hierarchical organization of these nodes. And then there's a so-called root graph, which is a new feature, which is how this animation or scripting gets transmitted from one node to another. We've learned that nodes have fields. These fields have integers or floating point values. And so what a root graph does, it allows you to change these values by linking the output of one node, which is done through a so-called event out, and routing it through to another node. So if we had this goldfish animated and we saw various other animations, the way such things are done is by routing, in that case, the output of a so-called interpolator through to a transform node, which has the position of the fins of the goldfish, and it you route that to that fin, and that changes the position of the fin. So the routing allows you to allow one VRML node to change the value of another VRML node, and in this case of a goldfish, the sort of VRML node to start this is one that's associated with time, because you want to do a simple animation. If you want to have the other types of VRML nodes that start things off are things like so-called sensors, where the it's a user action like clicking or moving your mouse which generates the activity, which then starts a route, which then ends off by modifying one or more VRML nodes. So routing is only present in VRML 2. Okay, so. Well, you certainly can't read this, but if you have your if you have what I gave out, you'll be able to read this architecture, which basically is a picture of what I just described. So, of course, I forgot to say at the end of all this, what the browser does, it renders it. And so this uses a traditional computer graphics renderer, and this language has been designed, obviously, with great attention to the state of the art in computer graphics. And in fact, it would be actually, I realize, pretty good to have a set of lectures or actually from a computer graphics expert explaining some of these key concepts of VRML. So somehow Nancy and I need to find such an expert, because there's some features about lighting which I think only can be understood by such an expert. I do not, I mean, I can understand them intuitively, but exactly why they made the choices they did is not so obvious to me. And I think comes from the experience of the computer graphics community as to what's a reasonable trade-off between reality and performance. Remember, the VRML browser is not the world's most, accurate rendering. It is, however, some trade-off between accuracy and speed, because it has to work on pretty reasonable on standard PCs and workstations, whereas traditional computer graphics has often used back-end processing from huge computers and is very slow. I mean, when Steven Spielberg uses computer graphics to make his movie, he can spend, I don't know, minutes or seconds on an individual frame, and he is able to render that with tremendous clarity and reality. And that uses a technique such as ray tracing, whereas VRML browsers are making more pragmatic trade-offs and are less accurate. Okay. So, VRML, let's say you create your scenes, you animate your objects, which we'll learn about using interpolates, you play sounds, and then you interact through sensors. And as we'll learn in the next set of foils, which will be after I come back, we use Java or JavaScript to write scripts. Okay. Right, so I'm going to skip the next set of foils. Which compare VRML 1 to VRML 2, because essentially we've done that. And now we're going to move on to VRML 2 in itself. And the first type of node we want to quickly discuss is called a sensor. And there are a set of sensors. And sensors are at least conceptually pretty easy, you just really need to look them up. There's basically a different sensor for each type of interaction of the user with the scene, and that interaction is either where the user is in the scene or what action the user takes with his or her mouse. You've already effectively mentioned in scripts and interpolators, so this is this class of node which is essential for animation, because the way we get smooth motion is to do interpolation between values. So there will be a whole set of interpolators which are in coordinates, positions, rotations, angles of orientation, which are axes, and even in colors, because you want to be able to animate the color of something. And unlike VRML1, VRML2 can have embedded sound. So the standard VRML2 is like VRML1. It has it's an ASCII file which starts off with a header, the comments which have a hash sign beginning them, which are just standard comments. Then we have a whole bunch of nodes. Nodes have fields, which are specified attributes. The attributes have values. You can give the nodes names. In VRML2, you can have something called a prototype, which allows you to build your own node type. We mentioned routes, which we'll learn. We'll see some examples of that later on, which is how we link events together. So we now just move through these various features of VRML2. And you have to start off with a statement telling the system that this is VRML2. Currently, as far as I know, there is only version 2.0. And I think you just copy this UTF-8, which is the specification of the language which you're using. Even if you don't have to know what it means, you just every VRML2 file has this as line one. You don't have to ask what it means. And this is, of course, a comment card, but this is a required comment card. Alright, so now we go through an example which we'll see this example soon. All right, so this is an example where we, so here we start off with the comment card to say it's VRML2. Then we have a so-called transform node. Remember, transform nodes used to just be in VRML1 specification of transformations. In VRML2, they also play the role of a so-called separator or grouping node. In that they're the way you, if you want to just group things together, you can define a null transformation node. Null in terms of in the sense that it has no particular transformation associated with it. So they have abolished separator because they saw they could do the same thing with transforms. Alright, after that we have again a new node in VRML2 called a children node. In VRML1 you just listed the children. In VRML2 you have to make that explicit by defining a vector of nodes which are in the children. So it says here children, and then it starts a square bracket. So vectors in VRML2 are done with square brackets. And so this defines, so VRML, the transform just defines curly brackets, which in this case is going to be the whole world. So that's the sort of entity. Then we're just going to define a bunch of nodes in this world. The first node is a navigation info node, which we won't get to for a while in describing in detail. And when you look at a VRML world, you're like a miner with a light on your head. And so that's that headlight, which you can actually switch on and off in the VRML browser. That headlight is like the light on the head on the helmet of a miner, or somebody going into a dark area. So you're allowed to, in the navigation info node, you're effectively allowed to specify the type of information you can also specify in the browser window. The reason you do it here is you're meant to set reasonable defaults, so that you actually look at the you have something which is sort of reasonable. So here we're switching our headlight off because the reason we're switching the headlight off is that we're actually putting some light into the scene, and therefore we believe we're telling the browser that the viewer does not need a headlight. So we then have define a directional light node, which is the second child node. the navigation info with the first child. And that is just a light where the rays are parallel to the z direction, negative z direction, which is then going to be the light illuminating the scene. Now we have now remember we're still inside the original transform node, so we now define another, this is a child of that transform node. So we're going to define a sphere, which is in placed in x equals 3 and z equals 1. So we're grouping this thing together. So we have a transform node. This transform node itself has children. This particular child only has, there's only one child node, which is a shape node. Remember in VRML1, you did not have shape nodes, you had directly geometry nodes like spheres. In VRML2, you must specify spheres through a shape node. So we say shape, a shape node specifies as critical attributes or fields the geometry and the appearance. So the appearance is going to tell us about the color and the other features of relevance for the geometry. So you say shape, we have a field called geometry. That field takes a value which is a node, which in this case is a sphere, and we're making its radius 2.3. And then we have the other critical attribute of a sphere is its appearance. So this looks like funny because it says appearance. So what does that mean? The first appearance with a lowercase is the field of the shape node. And so appearance with a lowercase is a field of shape. That appearance with a lowercase has a value which has to be a node. That value is an appearance node with a capital A. So we say appearance with a lowercase a, appearance with an uppercase a. Then we define the appearance, and then again in this rather pedantic notation, an appearance node has a field called material whose value has to be a material node. So we say material with a lowercase m, which is an attribute of appearance, and its value is a material node, which is finally a diffuse color, which is purely red. RGB of 100 is red. So we see VRML2 is a little more pedantic than VRML1. And finally, at the last foil describing this scene, we describe the third child, which is a blue box. So we have we start off a new transformation node because we want to move this box somewhere, which has a translation and a rotation. The shape is now a geometry, which is a box. The material is 001, which is blue. And then we close the square brackets for the child of this last transform. And then finally at the bottom here is a square bracket, which is the child of that first transformation. And then if we're lucky, we will have produced this scene here, you see. So here is the... So at the end of all this, we've done this particular... So here, I used the browser to change to examiner mode. And if I'd been kind, I would have set the navigation info in this VRML file to be examiner mode, not walk mode, because I think examiner mode is better. And Zeynep recommends that as a primer of good practice for VRML2. So obviously we can now rotate these about and move them and things. And then when we click that, we get back to the so-called standard viewpoint. You can specify, as we'll see, several viewpoints, which are then So this particular thing here tells you which viewpoint you go to, which is just standard places you can look at the scene, and the default viewpoints associated with the browser. So that basically tells you how to do in VRML2 something which is basically a classic VRML picture, static objects, which in this case there was a blue box and a red sphere. So that's this picture here, and if you look at your files, you will have the URL for this particular example. Alright, so after that example, we will just go through these things systematically. So we've already defined this, these general features that about nodes and fields. Alright, so here's something new. So, nodes have attributes. Attributes are of two types. The only attributes we've seen up so far are fields. Another type of attribute is an event. So the events are these things which you can generate from your Java and JavaScript, or they're generated by things called interpolators. And they signify something happening. And the events are the things that you root together. An event has associated with it, event and fields both have types associated with them. And there are two types of fields, field and exposed field. Exposed fields, that's like in Java between public and private variables. A field is like a private variable, and an exposed field is like a public variable, because an exposed field can be modified by external routing. So you can only root and change the values of an exposed field. A field is just fixed to whatever you set it. So fields, if you like, well, actually they're more like parameters, I guess, than private variables. And if you read the VRML definition, it will tell you which attributes are exposed fields and which attributes are fields. You have no choice. You're not allowed to change something which VRML says is a field to an exposed field. So I think, let me think, an example will be when we generate a general object from an index face set, which we illustrated last time. Some parts of an index face set are fields. So the some parts, can you hear me? Alright, if we build a shape out of a bunch of polygons, VRML2 does not allow us to dynamically change the polygons. It has to still remain the same shape. However, you can dynamically change the color of the polygon. So that tells the browser that it can do all the very difficult rendering associated with the geometry of a face set, but you can change features of it. So there's a decisions to be made as to what's allowed to be changed dynamically and what is fixed. All right. So exposed fields have a value when you specify when you write your VRML file, you will give a value to an exposed field, but that's, of course, an initial condition. And it, as we say, can be changed. So there are associated two types of events with an exposed field, and they, and in, although in print, though I, you can change this naming convention, the whenever you see an exposed field, that effectively implies there is associated with that field two events, an input event and an output event. So when you, the input event is what you use to set it, and the output event is what you use to link to when you want to take its value and pass it to another node. So the if I have, as it says here, an exposed field called foo, although the VRML2 definition manual will not say this, there will always be an event called set underbar foo, which is the one you must link to in order to change the value of foo. There is also always an event called foo underbar changed, which is automatically invoked, essentially as an interrupt, whenever you change the value of foo. So if you have a Java, if you have a JavaScript code that changes the value of foo, automatically foo underbar changed as an event is set. And that's of course called an event out, because that's what you link, from the event out to other events to use this change value of foo to do something nifty on another node. So that's essentially what this picture here says. Exposed fields have event ins and event outs. Fields neither have event ins or event outs. You can have event ins and event outs which are not particularly associated with exposed fields, and they have, when you read the VRML2 definition, it will tell you if there are other event ins and event outs associated with that node. It will not tell you about the set underbar and the underbar change events, because it will do that by the implied statement that they have exposed fields. And I told you last time where to find all this, and we have, which is the VRML2 page at SGI, and that's also linked to the home page. Okay. So as it says here, every field has a default value, and so you do not have to specify them. You just need to specify those fields which have values which are not the default values. And you must, every field has a particular type, like color or rotation or floating point number or a 32-bit integer, and you are required to obey that type. It's also true that VRML2 does not do casting. Namely, when you do routing, you must route between data of the same type. If you generate a floating point time, that floating point time can only be linked to another floating point value. It cannot be linked to an integer. So all routing is only between... So effectively a route is like, in a traditional language, setting variables equal to each other, and except it's a functional language, because in routing, when you set a variable, effectively what the routing says is when that variable is set, everything that's routed from that variable immediately, inverted commas, inherits the that changed value. So these are these various types. And we did these quickly also for VRML1, and there's not a lot of change. We have booleans, which are true or false, colors, floating point numbers, images, integers. Now one thing that is new, which is in VRML2, is nodes. I already showed you several examples where the attribute, where a field value was was a node, namely the material field had to take a value which was a node which was of type material. So you have to be careful to notice when a field can take values which are nodes and what type those nodes are, because the manual is not always terribly careful about telling you what types you're allowed to use. You have to be you have to know what's allowed. Okay. So this thing describes events, which, as we mentioned, were event ins and event outs. And we already described this strategy for naming with changed and underbar changed being the way we have events which correspond to values that have changed, and set underbar, which corresponds to the way we set values. So we can define node names. These node names are actually used in two ways. They're used to, as we saw before, to allow you to, we saw when we built our car, we defined a node called a wheel, which we then used to replicate the wheels of the car. So that's one way of reuse. So it's giving nodes names allows us to reuse them. It also allows us to refer to them when we want to do routing. So we need to, when we do routing, we need to actually say where we're routing between, and so that sometimes requires us to give names to nodes, because otherwise there's no unique way of telling you where to route to. So those names get more use in VRML too. So the to give a name, you use the def syntax, def name, followed by the node type, and then if you want to reuse that particular node, you say use of that node type, node name. All right, so now we come on to the shapes. So we've already seen an example of a shape. So shapes have these two fields, geometry and appearance, where geometry describes the three-dimensional structure, and appearance does what you expect intuitively, which defines essentially what it's made of. So this is the texture and the color and things like that, which is then, as we saw, going to be specified by something which has a node type material. All right, so this file here gives you formally the definition of actually two node types, shape and appearance. So as we saw, shape has two field types, appearance and geometry. You see this formal definition here, this is an exposed field. So it says appearance, which is defaulted to null, so it means that there won't be an appearance, any appearance defined unless you give it. This is an exposed field, which means that you are allowed to change it with this routing syntax. And it's SF means a single, not vector. And it's a type node, which means it must be another VRML node, sort of logically, it better be of type appearance. The geometry is also an exposed field, so you can change the node used in a shape. You can do a global replacement with one of these routings to the geometry node value. It is a node, and it must be one of the nodes which is a geometry node, such as box or a sphere or indexed face set. Appearance has three fields. Material, we saw an example of that where we used material to specify the color. The texture has to be a texture node, and there are various texture nodes which we'll see later, for both for image and movie textures. And then the texture transform helps define how we place the texture on the shape. All right, so this is essentially the same as VRML1. We have four basic geometries. The box, which used to be called a cube in VRML1, the cone, the sphere, and the cylinder. And we notice we have a slight change in syntax here from VRML1. For the cone, we have a bottom radius and a height, which define the geometry of the cone. And then we have two Boolean variables, side and bottom, to specify which parts of the cone are present. So this allows us to switch off the bottom of a cone. I'm not quite certain what it means to switch off the side of a cone. Doesn't seem to be much of a cone left if you switch off its side. Do you know what? What? So what's the side? So I split. So what's a cone without a side? So that's a circle. All right. Okay. All right. So if a cone without a side is a circle, then I understand what a cone without a side is. You might have thought that would be a circle. I know. I guess there isn't a circle. So a cone without. All right. So that shows the great economy of the semantic language experts who define this. So they noticed that we could view a circle as a special case of a cone without a side. So. You see, that shows some. All right, fine. So, sphere is identical, and cylinder is also fine. Doesn't cylinder also have a top and a bottom, which is true or false or not? I don't know. Maybe not. Yes, no. What does this show? All right. So this example here, which is meant to show you. Actually, if you get lost, you just press here. So anyway, these are our standard examples. This is presumably this also illustrates another thing which is present in VRML. This must be probably the sky, is that right? So this is the sky. There's a background node which allows you to specify various things like the ground, which is the front, and the sky, which is the back of the image. So this one has a sky. And then we have our four beautiful basic shapes sitting on some suitable columns, which are presumably made out of more complicated shapes. All right, so all these, of course, examples are available through the courtesy of Zinnip on our website. All right, so this is this. We have essentially done these examples already. All right. So now we're discussing all right. So there are various ways of grouping shapes together, such as transform. There is also a group node, there's a collision node, a billboard node, and an anchor node. So these are ones that are allowed to group things together. And the shapes that make up a group are called the children, and they have these things have a children node, which you can use, a children field, which you use, as we saw before, to do this. And you can nest group nodes, and you can have any number of children in a group node. And you can read the VRML resource. It will the VRML 2 manual will tell you which nodes can be put in can be children, and which nodes can do grouping. We will discuss these other nodes later. So actually, these were I should have actually shown it here. So I showed it a bit early. So this was this sample file here. So this was the simplest grouping node, which essentially acts a little like a separator in VRML1, which just has essentially the attributes, which are the bounding box, which has a center and a size. It has children, which are just listed, and then it has events. Input events which allow you to add children or remove children from this list. So you can see here at the bottom here we have, and you'll find several nodes, I guess all the grouping nodes have this. So any grouping node, you can add a child or remove a child by essentially using these events. So this allows you to dynamically what this example here is. So this is a simple example which I have to check and see what it actually does. Right, so let's focus actually on the billboard node. So the billboard node is a group node which has an interesting coordinate system so that it actually rotates everything in the billboard so it always faces the viewer. So that as you move around, you see whatever's on the billboard. So this allows you, normally if you move around, if you move around the real world, as you move, usually the signs don't follow you. This will be a useful option for this type of billboard, it rotates, so it always faces the viewer as long as it's within viewing, as long as you can see it. It doesn't rotate if you can't see it. So if it can't be viewed, you don't see it, but if it can be viewed, it always faces you. So this allows you to build information about the world which the viewer can always see. So we're meant to find an example here which does this. Which is this example. That's a good example. Well, maybe I should redo that. Well, it looks as though the server's gone down. Well, it's been up now for a good hour, so you can't expect, what else can you expect? It went down at 8 o'clock last lecture, if I remember rightly. Now what happened? Bus error. All right, so we better now have another discussion of... so that might have not been a server problem. That was a bug probably in Cosmo Player, that after you've invoked it 6 times, it crashes the system. So we'll be my guest or something. Sorry? Yes. So, all right. So that was all right. So yeah, that wasn't a server problem. That's actually a feature of this buggy technology. So what were we doing? So we were doing. So does anybody have any questions about what we've done so far? Put it at 750. Put it a bit more. Let's try 800. So actually, one as we discussed, the VRML is I mean, I guess I think most of these examples so far have been done by hand, but eventually everybody will generate VRML with authoring tools, just as in this what? Is that right? Yes. Good. All right. So why doesn't that, where is the billboard? I guess that robot is the billboard, is that right? Yes. All right, so this robot is a billboard, so it's defined as a billboard node. So when we can see it, it's always facing us. Is that right? We should have time to. What number is it? 64. Next one is 71. All right. So now we come on to events and routes, which we've essentially described the basic issue. The original thing that started off has an event out, which is misspelled on this file, and then we consume an event out with an event in, and events are fields which have types, because they route information, and as I mentioned, they must have the same field type. So this is all done in some sort of nuclear cascade. So when you start off with one event, it gets routed to other places. Those other places can then process those events and get yet other events and so on. And so you get a cascade, in general, a cascade of events from a single event. And they're all logically defined the same timestamp. These VRML operates, if you like, in some virtual world with virtual time. It's not obviously, although they have the same timestamp, they aren't executed actually at the same time. All right. So we won't discuss this because you can't see this picture probably very well. Hopefully, if you have your handouts, you can. See this execution model where the sensors and the script nodes generate events which are then routed between each other. All right. So this somewhat, so again, you better have your FOIL handout to read this. So this is the basic syntax of a route command. You say root of the output event to to the input event, and the notation is node name dotted into the event name. You can say use def to give a node a name needed, and you can put all the roots are just are done as separate ASCII lines independently of the nodes. So roots are themselves not nodes, they're just linkages between nodes. And they can effectively appear anywhere you like, inside a node or outside a node. And as I mentioned, you must match events exactly. Okay. So the center nodes are useful because they allow us to start these routes by generating, because center nodes always generate events. We'll describe a set of geometric center nodes such as proximity, visibility, touch, cylinder, plane, sphere, and then there's a collision sensor which detects collisions. And the other type of sensor nodes, which are the ones we'll look at first, are the time sensor, which just sense clock time. So this is a very useful sensor node because it's how we do standard animation. Alright, so we're meant to have an example here, I think. No, we're doing prototype. Let's see what this example is. It might be in the wrong place, this example. Oh no, this is a prototype example, I think. Alright, so this is meant to be... So I believe if we look at this, if you look at this example here, I believe a chair leg was defined as a prototype. So we've only defined a certain set of nodes. Remember, we only defined these four geometries, cones, cylinders, spheres, and boxes. And you may wish for a particular application area to define a whole new set of nodes. So you can do that with the so-called prototyping. And that allows you to define your own node types. And that's done with a so-called proto command, which defines the which is followed by the node name, and then you define a bunch of the fields and the events associated with this node type. And after that definition, after that declaration, one of these is the declaration, the other, this file is not clear. Let's just check it. Yeah, all right. So it should call this the declaration section. The first part is the declaration, the second part is the definition. That's a little confusing if I remember rightly. So you have something in square brackets, which are the fields and the events in and out and the exposed fields, and then you have something in curly brackets, which is the actual so-called definition. So the definition is essentially what it inherits information from. So the declaration is what your is the fields and the events your prototype will have. You must have at least one node in the definition, which is this thing in curly brackets. And then and this effectively defines a node type, and is effectively this is the default values that are inherited. So if the first node is a sphere, then that says that this particular prototype can be used whenever a sphere is used. And then there's also a syntax called is, which I'm not very familiar with, which allows you to associate fields and events in the prototype definition with that in the declaration. So I must admit, this is not a part of the language I'm very familiar with. So this is this example we showed here of four legs and the top of a table. The is allows you to expose things from the curly brackets, which was the definition in the declaration part. So if you have something in the curly brackets which you need to make expose, you use an is syntax so that you can move it from the declaration, from the definition to the declaration part. All right, so now we move on to the transformation node. So we've essentially, this is pretty similar to VRML1, and we've seen lots of examples. So transformations are groups that are allowed a bunch of children, but they effectively define a new coordinate system. So you can define rotations, scaling, and translations associated with this transformation node. So we've seen this such examples many times, so we needn't go through this again. So rotation fields are defined in the standard fashion, which is the same as VRML1, where you have three numbers representing the axis and one number representing the angle of rotation in radians about the axis. So obviously a rotation on the x-axis has an axis definition of 1, 0, 0, y-axis is 0, 1, 0, and so on. And then the last value in this rotation field. So the rotation field is always four numbers, and that last number is the rotation angle in radians. And so this example here is meant to be a rotation example, and so what we do is we define a shape. So if we see here, we have three cylinders. One, two, three. Could be six, but it's actually three. So it's three cylinders, and so we define that with a, we put these three cylinders in a group. Start off with a default transformation. So it has actually null parameters. Its height of the cylinder is 1. The radius is 0.1, so the ratio of the radius to the height is 10 to 1. You will notice the screen moves up and down as you move near it, which is an interesting feature. Then what we do is we have two translation nodes. The first translation node defines a rotation by roughly 1 radian. Then for the children, we just say use arm 1. So we're having exactly the same cylinder, we just want it rotated. And that's done by this straightforward. So we have a transformation node which defines a rotation. then we just, for the children, we just use the original cylinder. So we've now got we've now defined a second rotated cylinder, and then we get the third cylinder by doubling the angle of rotation. And of course, this thing is, we'd all recognize as pi by 3, so that as we have three cylinders, we do rotate by pi by 3, and here's 2 pi by 3, and we again just use the original cylinder definition. So we now got three cylinders, and hopefully, if we haven't run out of memory, we will be able to see three cylinders. And you see, these didn't. See, so as we mentioned, with the viewpoint, so the navigation info. You can actually with viewpoint you specify the initial way you look at it. So obviously this system was specified with a very bad viewpoint, because you could see obviously this was not the best view to see. And of course the same is true actually of that goldfish. That goldfish comes out with the goldfish pointing at you, whereas it's much prettier with the goldfish rotated through 90 degrees. Right, so this is, so anyway, so this just illustrates, so this file here shows how you can, so that's, this is meant to, well, this is exactly what you get from that BRML we just showed with three cylinders, each rotated by pi by 3. So it should come up with this as the initial viewpoint, which is certainly possible to do. All right, so that's that one. All right, the next example which we have here is the scale field. And as it's getting, let's just quickly see. So here we have this example here, which has a tree built using the scaling example, so we can get this tree, which also has a rather peculiar tree, which if you look at the VRML is built by scaling these basic scaling cylinders and cones, I guess, with a box for the ground. Alright, so given the time we should probably stop now. So we will proceed finish VRML. You hopefully have learned enough VRML to build a bus, and I think you will see that there are a bunch of useful examples available for you. What? I'm confused. Which of the ones don't work when you click on the bottom? Because it doesn't do that on my computer. That's why I don't understand it. So what happened? It just broke on us.